I'm going to read out John chapter 4 in just a minute. While you're turning, I do want to say it's a real joy to be back in service tonight. And good to be in the house of God. Appreciate everybody being here, being in service tonight. Best I can tell, we got something under 300 tonight. And good to see this good number of church tonight. And I do appreciate you coming and being back in the house of God. And I thought about preaching while that preacher was preaching tonight. I thought about preaching again what I preached this morning. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And man, that was great tonight, brother. I enjoyed that preaching. That was great. Just old-fashioned Bible preaching. Amen. And I enjoyed that good preaching. His family singing also. All the good singing tonight, I enjoyed that. And I love the book of Nehemiah. I like that book. That's one of my favorite books, the Old Testament. That's probably my son, which is my pastor's favorite book. And he preaches out of it quite often. You know, I thought Sanballat, Gershom, and Tobias was dead until I started pastoring. 40 years of pastoring, I found out they're not dead. Amen. All these years now in evangelism, I found out they're not dead. They sure not. But I enjoyed the good preaching tonight and the good singing already. Thank you for the good day. And man, I miss the preacher. Do y'all miss him? I miss him. I sure do. I miss him sitting there smiling at me while I preach. And but do pray for his wife. Do pray for Miss Sexton that God will continue to touch her. I'm glad she's okay. I'm glad she's where she's at right now. And we're going to trust God for the rest of it. Amen. And I know he's able, so do remember her in prayer and pray for her if you will. And of course, I'm going to be talking with the preacher probably tonight and tomorrow some also as I travel. So do remember him in prayer and pray for him. I've said this in this pulpit before. This is my 11th time of preaching behind this pulpit. And so if you're nervous, don't worry about it. I've got down everything. I've got down everything I preached. And I've got down everything I preached since 1973. You say, I really do. You go back to the same church every year, you better write it down. And don't you get tired of hearing preachers tell the same joke? I do. But I didn't write that down. But anyhow, I do appreciate the opportunity to be in here tonight. I will be praying for her and talking to the preacher this week and trusting God to touch her and do that this evening. I know he's going to. It's going to be all right. And so do remember her in prayer and pray for them if you will. But also, I want to say thank you for letting me come today. You tell the preacher I've said that also. And man, I've enjoyed being here today. And this morning, I enjoyed it. I've already enjoyed service tonight. We can dismiss now. We're not going to. But we could dismiss now and go home. And I can say it's already been a joy to be here. Amen. I appreciate the good service already tonight. Thank you, ladies, for that good meal today. I don't know where that lady is that fixed that apple pie, but I hope every stoplight she comes to the next 3 years is green. Man, it was good. Man, did you get in? Was it wonderful? Was it great you get some, Brother Allen? I'm telling you, it was great. And then she turned around and put some of that fat-free ice cream on it. Praise God. Amen. And that was great. I enjoyed it. I sure did. I'll say this right before I preach tonight. My pastor came up with an idea last year that I thought was awesome. And didn't only come up with it, he did it. He got a burden for pastors and pastors' wives. And I helped him put this together. And last year we had our first Escape to the Mountain Pastor's Retreat. Pastor and his wife. And man, it was awesome last year. It's in March of this year, I should say. And it was awesome. I'm telling you, God really moved. It was on a Thursday. It's actually Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday evening. And Friday morning, we went home. What he does, he invites several different pastors across the country to come in. Them and their wives, just to get encouragement. They just come and get help, get encouragement, and good preaching. And it's really not like it is a service, but it's not a service. We have it there at the Cove, and we are independent Baptists. Come on, help me now. And but we do use those facilities. And man, they are wonderful. They're beautiful. And of course, they provide all the meals. They provide the place to sleep. One of the nicest places I've ever been in my life. And he's going to do it again this year. And I want somebody to get a hold of this and make sure that the preacher and his wife comes. And so it's going to be Wednesday night, March the 22nd, March the 23rd, and we'll go home the 24th. And I promise you're going to be. He did some things I've never seen anybody do. And he had a time, about an hour and a half, one of the morning sessions, just to ask questions. Then he had a session where let the preachers talk and talk about what's going on in their church, where they need help at. And of course, we had preaching too. But it's a wonderful time for a pastor and his wife. And I want you to be sure that y'all get it fixed up so they'll come. I'm going to give both of you one, so you won't forget it, all right? How many love you preachers? Say amen. Amen. I started to say this a while ago, and I want to say it now. I know this is my 11th time of preaching here, so I know I've said this before. Most churches does not realize the caliber of the men of God they have till he's gone. Don't let that happen here. And I know you don't. I know you love your preacher. And you are so blessed. You don't only have a preacher, you got a pastor. And he is such a blessing. I appreciate he and his wife, their family. So I want you to pray for him and do remember them in prayer. Pray for him during these days. Hold them up to God in prayer. I think pastors in the last 2 years has probably had some of the roughest times they've probably ever had in the ministry. And I'm telling you, it's been tough the last 2 years. So do remember them in prayer. And fix it so they can come to that. I know they'll enjoy that. It'll be good for him and his wife both. Just to get away, kind of unwind. And it'll be great. So I hope you'll be sure and do that. And there's two or three different preachers preaching. Who's preaching? Let me see one of them again. And Brother Darrell Cox, one of the preachingest men around here. Y'all need to meet Brother Darrell Cox, pastor of the Trinity Baptist Church in Moxville, North Carolina. He'll be one of the preachers. Brother Kevin Broyhill is now one of the preachers, and also Brother Steve Pope. I'm telling you, Steve Pope is a preaching machine. He'll be a preaching also. Then there's some Barker guy that will close it out on Thursday night. So remember that and send your preacher, and I know he'll get help from that. So be sure and remember that. Let's stand together, please. I thought about it, he beat me to it. Thought about just giving an invitation to one house. He preached good. Did y'all hear what I just said? He preached good, man. And we need to revive those stones. Amen. And here's a thought that's been working in my heart since last week. I began to pray about these services. And I can't get away from it. So I pray God will use it to speak to our hearts. Now here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read a text. I'm going to preach about 15 minutes. Then I'm going to give about a 10-minute illustration. Remember, I've got a mount on each one of them. About 10 minutes. So I'm not going to preach long. I've got about almost 5-hour drive tonight, so probably nobody else got that long to drive. I don't have to drive home tonight, but I need to go home so I can get ready to go to South Carolina and start a meeting. Our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us tonight. Lord, you put this in my heart and you burn it in my heart this week when I was studying. And I pray, God, you'll take what we're going to say tonight and use it for the glory of God. I pray you'll help your people this evening, Lord. You know their need. Lord, even before I come here, God, I ask you to help me be a blessing to them. I don't want to be here if I can't help them. So I pray tonight that, Lord, you'll help me that I'll be able to help them tonight. I pray the Spirit of God will take the Word of God tonight and I pray you'll work in our hearts with it tonight. Most of all, if there's somebody here lost tonight, I pray this will be the night. Lord, they'll see their need of Christ and get saved tonight by the grace of God. And I pray you'll convey the burdenness of my heart tonight. Lord, I sat down and I thought just a few minutes ago, Lord, the thought and the burdenness on my heart tonight. And I pray God somehow or another, the Spirit of God will take that and convey it to your people tonight and change lives and work in our hearts tonight. Then, Lord, I want to pray again tonight for Miss Sexton, God, that you'll touch her. God, I want to thank you for how she's doing as good as she is doing. I pray, oh, God, that you continue to help her tonight. I pray you'll touch her kidneys, God, to where they'll be able to go and do all the tests they need to do. Lord, I pray help her tonight. I plead the blood of Christ over her. I pray give her that she needs tonight. I pray for the preacher tonight, God, you'll encourage him. I give him that he needs tonight. And we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for sending you. Be seated. I'll read in just a minute. There's a lot of good one-word texts. Did you get what I just said? There's a lot of good one-word text found in the Gospel of John. The word must comes up quite often. He says, you must be born again. He said, he must be lifted up. He said, he must increase and I must decrease. He said, I must need go through Samaria. He said, I must worship. He said, we must work. He said, I must rise again. So there's a lot of good one-word text when you study it, how the Gospel of John tonight. When you study the Gospel of John tonight, I begin to think about the contrast or the comparison between John chapter 3 and John chapter 4. In John chapter 3, you've got a man that's mentioned. In John chapter 4, you've got a woman that's mentioned. John chapter 3 tonight, how the man is mentioned named Nicodemus. In John chapter number 4 tonight, how the woman is mentioned, they don't even give her name. In John chapter 3 tonight, how he was a man of rank, a Pharisee. But if you study John chapter 4, he was a woman of a low degree. John chapter 3, you'll find how that it was a man that was favored of the Jews. But in John chapter number 4, how it was a woman that was despised by the Jews. In John chapter 3, you'll find how that was a man that sought after Christ. But in John chapter 4, you'll find Christ seeking after a woman. How? John chapter 3, if you study it, how you'll find there's a man that come by night. But John chapter 4, you'll find there's a woman that come by day. And there's a lot of good comparison here as found here tonight. And when you study about this Samaritan woman tonight, somebody said it's a bad Samaritan that become a soul winner. That's what happened. She got saved and God changed her life and she become a soul winner for the glory of God. And I want to say this tonight. The older I get, you know what this means? The older I get, the more I realize there's just one life. And that life will soon be passed. And all this done for Christ is all that's going to last. You know what you're going to take to heaven with you? Them you win to God. How those that you lead to Christ. And I'll say this to you tonight. Hey, this thing's soon going to be over. And what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Hear me tonight. Hey, we ought to well to care for others tonight. When I look at this text here tonight in John chapter 4, I was going to read 9 verses, but look at verse number 4. Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. He must needs go through Samaria. Now, I'll say this to you tonight. Where is your Samaria at tonight? How, where is that place that you must need go through at tonight? I'm in a different church every week. I'm in a different town every week. And I say about this driving back to the motel today. I went by, I guess it was apartments, out here, and I thought, my soul, what a good place to go soul winning. What a good place to sow seed and give out gospel tracts. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. Listen to me. Hell, you and I are Samaria tonight. And Jesus said, I must need go through a Samaria tonight. I want to give you 2 or 3 things to give you an illustration. First of all, I'll say this tonight. He goes to an unreached people. He goes to an unreached people. Look at verse 9. Paul said, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest a drink of me? How which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews has no dealings with the Samaritans. He goes to an unreached people. Now to say this to you tonight, aren't you glad he come your way one day? Hey, you and I was unreached one day. Now say to that, thank God that he goes to an unreached people tonight. Bible said in Matthew chapter number 9 and verse number 12, they that are whole don't need a physician. But they that are sick, and I'll say this to you tonight, how that unreached people tonight. Jesus crossed all racial barriers. Jesus crossed all areas had to be able to reach this woman for the glory of God. He said, I must need go through Samaria. You know, I seen something the other day when I was reading this. On C Bible. Is it King James? He says in verse number 4, he must need That's not what that word says. Has your Bible got an S on it? How much needs? There's more than one. There's more than the Samaritan woman. How much needs this fish Samaria? And there was a pressure, there was a purpose, and there was a plan. And I'll say this to you tonight. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Now, I'll say to you tonight, I don't know where your Samaria is, but I know where mine's at tonight. And I'll say to you this evening by the grace of God, hey, we must needs go through Samaria. And think about this right here. Those Jews, there was an unreached, their Samaritans was unreached people. The Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. Listen to this. Those disciples would not go through Samaria. But Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. If I was going to Knoxville tonight, the sensible way to go is go down here and go left. And stay on the road and you'll go to Knoxville. 129 runs into 129. That would go to Knoxville. But you know what would happen in Jesus' day? There were three ways. Right? Galilee was north of there. There was three ways north of Galilee to get up there. But you had to go right through the shortcut, right through Samaria. You know what those people would do that day? They would sidetrack it. They would go around it. They would not go through it. Would it be kind of dumb tonight if I was going to Knoxville to go down here and hit just 321? Hit 321, go down to Townsend, down through Wires Valley, down into Pigeon Forge, and then over to Sevierville, and then back up, and then go to Knoxville. That'd be kind of dumb, wasn't it? You know what those disciples would do? You know what those people did in Jesus' day, those Pharisees? They would go around it. They'd take the long way around. But Jesus said, I must need to go through Samaria. There's somebody that needs the gospel. Hey, somebody that needs to be saved. He went to an unreached people. Those that nobody else cared anything about. Thank God, hear me tonight. What you got, Jesus cares about the unreached tonight. Friday afternoon, I stood in the jail in Yankeeville, North Carolina, and preached to a whole group of men that was behind bars. Told them about Christ. Unreached. Nobody else wants anything to do with them. No, the church in that area cares anything about them. I'd come out to anything. Don't tell Jesus not that way. And by the way, when they got done, guess what happened? Anybody got any idea what happened? Old boy got saved. A girl on the other side where my pastor's wife dealt with, I got saved. And by the way, she had never heard the gospel. That's the first time anybody had ever gave her a true presentation of the gospel. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, if Jesus come to town, you'd be surprised where he'd go. You say, well, he'd come to Ridgeview Baptist Church. He probably would. And he's here tonight. You say, how do you know? I brought him with me. And you did too. But if he'd come to town tonight, you'd probably be surprised. The Bible said that he sat down at Jacob's well. He, being weary with his journey, sat down at Jacob's well. Boy, I don't care, that crowd of Pharisees wouldn't sit down there. He wouldn't even go there. Aren't you glad he goes to the unreached? Those that nobody cares anything about. That's who he went to. But then notice real quick. He didn't only go to the unreached. I want to say, he goes to the unloved. Those that nobody else cares anything about. And again, I'll say this tonight. Jesus has no respect to person. And when it comes to this thing about salvation. And the unloved tonight, those that nobody cares anything about tonight, the unloved, you know who they were? They were half-breeds. If you study about them, you'll find 2 Kings chapter number 17, you'll find those Jews intermarried with the Assyrians and produced the Samaritans. And as a result of that, nobody had anything to do with them. Let me tell you how they liked them. The Pharisees in that day said this. Their prayer was that the Samaritans would not arise in the resurrection. That's what they prayed. And also those Pharisees said this. They had rather sit down and eat the flesh of a swine than to eat bread with a Samaritan. I'm talking about an unloved people. Y'all hear me tonight? I'm talking about those that nobody else cared anything about. That's where Jesus went. Thank God, hear me this afternoon. I'm glad he went to the unloved. And can I just say this? When the Pharisees wanted to embarrass the Lord and assault the Lord, John chapter number 8, Phil said it, they call him a Samaritan. I'm talking about an unloved crowd. And you know what? You got some of them in your county. You got some of them in your town. Hey, you got some of them in your community. Nobody loves them. Nobody has anything to do with them. Are you listening to me? Let me just say this before I say what I'm going to say. My first church in the early 70s that I pastored, I done real good in that church until we went out of their perimeter. Their perimeter was the church and about 3 miles around it. Nobody was supposed to come outside of that area. And when they started preaching and sinners, I done real good. The sinners started getting saved. And when sinners started getting saved, I'm telling you, it got on. I'm telling you, they got upset. Here comes a crowd that's not from our community. Here comes a family that's not lives in our area. And boy, they got upset. And I tell you what happened. When we bought a church bus and started running out of that community over in North Wilkesburg, and bringing them snotty-nosed youngins to church that nobody else cared anything about. Nobody else loved them. Nobody went to get them. But when we started running that bus and that second bus and that third bus and started bringing them youngins to church and started telling them about Jesus, you talk about them Pharisees. I'm talking about an unloved crowd. I mean, the fact that them youngins would come into that church and get snot on their beautiful pews, it tore them out of the frame. And what really upset them was they found a booger on one of the pews. Are y'all hearing me preach? I'm preaching good. I'm telling you, listen, he went to an unloved people. And I'll say this to you tonight. I don't care who they are. I don't care how low they are. I don't care how far down they go. Thank God Jesus loves sinners tonight. Are you listening to me? He went to an unloved people. By the way, can I just say this real quick? I know a little bit of how it feels to be unloved. When I went to school, I did one time. When I went to school, we went to school with patches on our clothes. That wasn't popular. I never have understood this. These girls wearing these breeches, and they're, I don't understand wearing breeches to start with, but I'm moving. But anyhow, they got cheated. They run through the lawnmower. Got holes in them everywhere. Now, when I went to school, we went to school with patches on our clothes. We was poor. We supported the poor family down the road. Had references as the poor family. And they would laugh at us. They'd make fun of us. I remember that very well. That's been 10 years ago. I remember. Are you hearing me? I remember that. And I'm going to say this to you tonight. Thank God Jesus went to an unweak people. He goes to an unholy people. An unloved people tonight. Those that are unloved, he cares about them. Would it bother you? Somebody come in here and sit down in your church. It's got tattoos from the top of their head to the bottom of the feet. I'm not endorsing that. I don't think you ought to get a tattoo. I think it's wrong. But you know what? Jesus loves them. And can I tell you something tonight? My last church I pastored, we'd been referred to as the tattoo parlor. Because we had that crowd coming out that got saved. I'm telling you, God changed their life. And my boys that smoked that juju weed when they got saved, God changed their life. And they'd be sitting there. I'm thinking of one real quick, old Monty Harris. When Monty got saved, he was doing $300 a day dope. 300 a day. Old Marty got born into the family of God. God called him to preach. Old Marty's arms, see my leg right there? That's about the size of his arm. And you're talking about a good bodyguard. He hurts me sometimes. And but rough, man. I'm talking about rough. I'm talking about getting dug out of the rubbish, brother. Hey, can I tell you something tonight? Thank God Jesus loves the unreached tonight. Jesus loves the unlovable tonight. Then I want to say quicker than that. He didn't only go to the unreached, he went to the unlovable. But then he went to the unholy. You say, who? The unholy. Look at verse 16. The Bible says in verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, look at verse 14. Whosoever drank this water that I give him, I shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in a well water springing up into everlasting life. And the one saith unto him, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, thou hast no husband. You got five right now and you shacked up. When you're shacked up with, not your husband. And then she wanted to get real religious. She said, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Hey, hear me tonight. Hey, he went to the unholy. Her life is in a mess. I said, her life is in a mess. But thank God, Jesus died for sinners. Are you listening to me? Look at verse 6. I thought this was interesting. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being weary with his journey, Sit thou on the well. And it was about what? Somebody tell me what time it was. I can't hear a lick. What'd you say? 6 hours. You know when that is? That's midday. That's the hottest part of the day. You know when they draw water in Jesus' day? Early in the morning and late in the evening. You say, why did she come then? She didn't come then because she was a conversation piece. When them other women come to the well, she bowed there with some of them girls' husbands. She was a conversation piece. That's why she come at the sixth hour. Aren't you glad God knew when she's going to be there? Aren't you glad the Lord? Yes, sir. Hey, Jesus is never late. He's always on time, thank God. But here's what I thought about. She comes at an hour when nobody else comes. Because they would have laughed at her. They would have made fun of her. They'd probably run her off. But if she come at that hour, and I'll just say this to you real quick tonight. Jesus, thank God, I went to the unholy. Your Samaritan tonight may be unreached tonight. It may be unloved tonight. It may be unholy tonight. But by the grace of God, let's go anyhow. Are you listening? Notice number 4 quickly. He didn't only go to the unreached. He went to the unloved. He went to the unholy. But he went to the undeserving. Undeserving. Listen to this. If you and I had got what we deserve, God would have never had a second look at us. Can I say that again? I said, had you and I got what we deserve, God would have never had a second look at you and I. But I'm there, thank God. 52 years ago, on the 22nd day of October, 1970, I'm glad he come by a place called Rhonda, North Carolina, about a quarter to 10, and saved my soul, thank God. And he went to the undeserving tonight. Oh, brother, God had saved us on our basis of goodness. Every one of us would be in hell tonight. But I'll tell you that, he come to the undeserving. He come and saved us on the basis of love, grace, and mercy. Yeah, we didn't get what we deserved. Don't you never think in your mind that God owes you anything. He don't owe us anything tonight. He does what he does out of grace and mercy, thank God. Listen, those that are out there in sin, you know what they need? They need the gospel. I came out of the jail Friday, and Leslie, my daughter-in-law, which is my pastor's wife, was telling me about the lady. The woman, now she's a lady. She was an inmate, now she's a lady. She was a woman, now she's a lady. Boy, the blood of Jesus. Hold my mute while I stop and shout. The blood of Jesus, I don't care what they've done. I don't care how vile they've been. I really know whether this church is Baptist church is not. Don't like people like that coming to the church. Well, you know, they don't care for that crowd. Boy, I do. I went and got them. I brought them in, praise God. Oh, yeah, listen, you get them saved by the grace of God. That's amazing what God will do. I want to ask you this question. Where, am I going to preach this? I just want to ask you this. Where is your Samaria? Huh? It may be your home. It may be your neighborhood. You young people, it might be school. It might be the doctor's office. It might be the gas pump. Listen to me. When you pull up to a gas pump, instead of fussing and cussing, why don't you get a gospel tract out of your pocket and go to the other side of the pump? There's always someone on the other side of the pump. You say, well, that's none of my business. You see, that's where you're wrong. That's all about our business tonight. And I don't know who your Samaritan is tonight, but I say, where is that? It may be your county. It may be your doctor's office. It may be the jail. It may be a bus route. I don't know where it's at. But I know this tonight. Wherever it's at tonight, by the grace of God, I don't care how unholy, how unloved, how wicked, how vile. Thank God the blood of Jesus. Are you listening? Cleanses from all sin. All sin. Where's your Samaria? My daddy preached and pastored churches 55 years. My daddy's one of the greatest soul winners I've ever met in my life. He'd been in heaven 15 years. He's one of the greatest soul winners I ever met in my life. My daddy, on a Sunday afternoon, between services, I remember this. I wouldn't even say, but I remember it. Daddy and a guy by the name of Earl Alexander would always go soul winning on Sunday afternoon. Their favorite place for going soul winning was Cutthroat Ridge. Cutthroat Ridges. And Windy Gap was the capital, bootleg capital of the world in the 60s. That's where my first church was, in Windy Gap. But Daddy would go to Cutthroat Ridge. I was preaching at Mount Pisgah Baptist Church, one of my supporting churches, supports me every month. Right there at Cutthroat Ridge just some time ago. And I remember my daddy going to Cutthroat Ridge. It had that name for a reason. If you went in there and used a stranger and said anything about what's going on, you'd get your throat cut. They made more moonshine in that part of the world and anywhere else in the world during those days. And Daddy would go soul winning at Cutthroat Ridge. Buddy, I seen him win some of them old bootleggers to God. As for the drug day, for the juju weed day, it was liquor and moonshine and sugar heading. White liquor. Now, I seen my daddy go to them. It scared me. I thought they'll cute him, they'll kill him, but they didn't bother him one bit. Matter of fact, had you bothered them, some of them would have jumped on you. They respected the men of God. Boy, he'd go in there on Sunday evening full of God and God all over the Bible and stuck under his heart and tell him about Christ, say God. Hey, where is your scenario tonight? My last pastorate. We had a street in our town called Harris Street. We wouldn't let our ladies go down Harris Street. Women had no business on that street. Anything you want, you could get it on Harris Street. Anything to shoot, anything to sniff, what else do you do with it? Anything you wanted, any color woman you wanted, anything you got it on Harris Street. We wouldn't let our ladies go down through there by themselves. Guess where one of our main bus routes was at my church when I pastored? Down on Harris Street. Son, I'm telling you, they would come in rough as a cob. I'm talking about rough. I'm talking about the average church in our community would not give them the time of the day. But had Jesus sat down in that town during that time, I know where he would go. Are y'all hearing me tonight? And we'd go down on Harris Street. Boy, what a lot on the God, a lot of them young youngins come out. I had no hope in this world, but got saved by the grace of God. And God changed their life. By the way, this little fellow about this tall. Stand up. How old are you? 9. Were you married? Little fellow got in one of our vans one day. Would you say he's about this size, Mama? Alton? Probably just about this size. Daddy's a drunk. Didn't go to church. As far as I know, died that way. Mama was pitiful. Oh, Alton started riding her van, bringing him to church. Alton grew up and got to be 12 years old. Alton got to be a teenager, and Alton got saved. Alton got born into the family of God. I don't know the exact time, probably 14 years old, God called old Alton to preach. You would see where he come from. Y'all see the mess he come out of. And God called him to preach. You know who Alton Beale is? Does that ring a bell? You know who he is, don't you? He's the president of Ambassador Baptist College in Shelby, North Carolina. Preaches all over the world. You say, "Would you got him?" We got him out there. Well, the average person won't go. The average preacher don't want nothing to do with him. But I'll tell you, there's some more. There's some more Altons out there. Are y'all hear me preach tonight? That's where Jesus would go. Oh, my soul. Well, I was visiting one day one of my bus workers. And he said, "Preacher, we're going to skip this house." I said, "Why are you going to skip this house?" He said, "I don't want you to be embarrassed." I said, "You're not going to embarrass me." He said, "Preacher, I really don't want you to go with me to this house. I'll come back." I said, "No, I'm going with you." It didn't take me but just about a minute when we got to the door why he didn't want me to go there. The woman that come to the door, she didn't believe in putting on clothes at 12 o'clock. But let me tell you something about that woman. I seen her get in church. I seen her get right with God. And her husband was meaner than a forked-tongued snake. I'm talking about wicked. I'm talking about mean. And he made a mistake, come to church one day with her, and sat on the back row right there where the dance is sitting tonight. When I got done preaching that morning, old Ray, he had cerebral palsy. He could just barely walk. Old Ray stepped out and started down. It seemed like it took him 15 minutes to get down at the altar. But I won't tell you, he would cuss you. I'm telling you, he'd run you off. But I seen the God. I'm about to shout, buddy. I'm telling you, hear me tonight. I know where Jesus would go. Oh, I know where he would go. Oh, where's your scenario tonight? Thank God Jesus loves him tonight. Amen. I'll give you this, and I'm done. One Saturday afternoon, I'm not going to preach this. Well, there's some good points. One Saturday afternoon, I was going to take my girlfriend to supper. My girlfriend's my secretary. My girlfriend cleans my house. My girlfriend takes care of my clothes. My girlfriend's my wife. And I was at Northwood Pastor at this time, and I was going to take out supper one Saturday afternoon. We left the parsonage and started up the road. Turned off 0421 and turned right on Booger Swamp Road. Going to Johnsville to the Cracker Barrel. I'm going up Booger Swamp Road. Here comes a man on a bicycle riding down the road. His name is Vance Calloway. One of the meanest men I've ever met in my life is Vance Calloway. Vance pulled time in every prison, probably North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee. Been in every jail. Sheriff told me when they would go get Vance. Stand up. You even look like Vance. For the world, wasn't he, Mama, about his size? Just about your size. And the sheriff told me, he said, when we go get Vance, we don't send one deputy, we send five. He'd knock your head off. He'd cut your throat. Thank you, Brother Vance. Are you listening? I'm talking about rough. Well, I'm going up Booger. He stole thousands of bicycles. He didn't have no license. And I went to his brother-in-law's house one day. I bet there's 100 bicycles back there in the bushes. He'd steal your socks off your feet with your shoes on out, and you never know it. I'm talking about a thief. I'm going up Booger Swamp Road. I'm about done. I'm going up Booger Swamp Road with my wife. We're going to go eat supper Saturday afternoon. And here's what I thought. That heathen will steal everything in the parsonage before I get back. That was my thought. And the Holy Ghost smote my heart and said, don't call him a heathen until you first of all tell him about me. I said, okay, Lord, I'm sorry. We went on and ate, went to church next day. Sunday night in our men's prayer room, there's probably 50 men in the prayer room that night. I said, brethren, I have a special prayer request tonight. I said, God has put, and everybody in our county knows it. Everybody in surrounding county knows it. I'm talking about mean as a snake. Vance probably was 60 years old this time. Now, in the prayer room that night, I said, man, I have a special prayer request. I want you to help me pray for Vance Calloway. God's put him on my heart. This is the truth. When I said that, they started sniggering at me. You could hear it all through the prayer room. Vance Calloway. They couldn't believe I even brought his name up. They sniggered at him. And I said, by the grace of God, next Saturday, I'm going to knock on old Vance's door. Well, Saturday come. I'm getting ready to go to Vance's to knock on his door. And I meet old Jason Anderson, one of my bus workers. He said, preacher, guess where I've been? I said, where? He said, I just left Vance's house. I thought, oh, no. It must not be too bad. You're still walking. Reason I haven't visited him before, I was afraid. I'm just to be honest with you, I was afraid of him. Now, I wasn't afraid he was going to hurt me too bad because I got a friend I carry with me sometimes. Are y'all hearing me? He wasn't going to hurt me too bad. I didn't want to shoot him, so I was afraid of him. I'm telling you, I was afraid of him. He'd kill you. I said, you been worried? He said, I just left Vance's house, and Vance is going to ride my bus in the morning. I said, you're crazy. He said, no, I'm not. That Sunday morning, the next Sunday morning, which was the following day, there's old Vance on the church bus. Son, that guy meaner than a snake. He'd knock your head off. Our old Vance is on the church bus coming to church. That Sunday morning, he walked in our building. There's probably 400 or 500 people there that day, and when you walked in, did y'all see Vance? Did y'all see? Because Vance Calloway. That's Vance Calloway. Vance walked all the way down front. That man right there. All the way down front and sat down where you're sitting in the front row. Large auditorium balcony. Sat down on the front row. It was during Easter season and I was preaching on the cross and the sayings of the cross. Lo and behold, that Sunday morning, I was going to preach on the thief on the cross. I thought, if I preach that, the security team will have to get him. But I wasn't going to change my mind. And I preached that Sunday morning on the thief on the cross. When I got done preaching, Vance Calloway was the first man that raised his hand that he was a sinner. First time he come, raised his hand was a sinner. I didn't have to sing 91 verses of Just As I Am. Old Vance hit that altar right here on this side. One of my deacons took a Bible and led him to Christ. You just don't know what I'm saying tonight. You don't realize what I'm saying about this man tonight. He hit that altar and he got saved. God, it was all over the town before the day was over. Vance Calloway's got religion. Vance Calloway's got religion. I'm sitting in my office the next morning. Chief of police, one of my trustees, member of my church, several of the officers were. And old Tim called me and said, preacher, he said they've called up here from down at the plaza. And when they called the police from down at the plaza, Vance is in a fight with somebody. He's either stole something, shoplifted, or slapped somebody or whipped somebody. Tim called and said, "Preacher, they've called up here from the plaza and said Vance is down there." And I thought, "Oh no." I said, "What's happening?" He said, "He's down there giving out Bibles and handing out tracts." Are y'all hearing me?
Yes.
I couldn't believe it, man. Boy, he got born into the family of God. Here I am, somebody in the church bought him that white shirt. He lived in the basement of the old house. I went down in that basement and there was cat carcasses. Rat carcasses. I never seen such a mess, stinking mess in my life. Somebody bought him on a white shirt. Here I am presenting him with a Bible. I have pictures of him while I was baptizing him. Oh, Vance is my buddy. You talking about God changing somebody's life? Several months went by and it was the talk of our, I'm about done, it was the talk of our community. People couldn't believe Vance Calloway had got saved. They couldn't believe, couldn't they, Mom? It's the talk of the community. A few months went by and old Brother Barry, jailer, called me from the jail. Barry said, "Preacher, I just want you to know Vance is over here in jail." I said, "Do what?" He said, "Vance is in jail." I said, "I'll be over in a minute." I got over and he already had Vance out while I could talk to it. I said, "Vance, what is going on with you?" He said, "Preacher, here's what happened. I'm a convicted felon, and a convicted felon cannot carry a gun. And about a year or year and a half ago, I had an old pistol stuck down my britches. Walked in down to the 7-Eleven store and somebody seen it and called the law. And one of my preachers, Jason Penley, which pastors the church tonight, was a law officer. And Jason's the guy that went down and got him and arrested him and put him in jail because he's carrying that pistol. That's where he got saved." I said, "Vance, why didn't you tell me this? If you'd have told me this, you'd have never got put in jail." He said, "Well, preacher, how before I got saved, and I didn't want to bother you with it." So this the next day or so, he's going for trial, going before the judge. This is crazy. He walks up, they're getting ready to try him. Judge said, "Mr. Calloway," said, "do you want us to give you an attorney? Do you want to hire an attorney? Or do you want us to appoint you one?" Here's what Vance said. You just had to know him. He said, "Judge, I'm going to represent myself and I want 12 in the box." Talking about jurors. The judge thought he'd lost his mind. And you know what they've done with him? They sent him to a mental hospital in Raleigh, North Carolina for 40 days to determine whether or not he's crazy. I about died. I cried, man. 4 days. They called the jail and said, "Come and get this man. He ain't crazy." And I think what happened was he tried to win the whole crowd down there to God. And they run him off. Are y'all hearing me? And I never will forget that afternoon. That Wednesday afternoon they brought him and set him out. I could see it. Oh, Vance, come walking down the road, Northwood Baptist Church Road. Come into the house of God. And I want to tell you, that never got brought up again. I don't know what went with it. I ran the judge, threw it out. I don't know what happened to it. He got thrown out. I never heard nothing else about it. And for 2 or 3 years, I'm telling you, a giant of a Christian, how God turned him around. Can I ask you a question? Have you got a Vance? If you don't have a Vance, you ought to have a Vance. A few years went by. Vance got sick. Our church hooked power up to that old house and got him out of that carcass den. Got him upstairs. Got him some clothes and loved on him real good. Two or three years went by, Vance got sick. Make a long story short, he was eat up with cancer. I wish you could have been with me during them days. I wish you could have seen that saint of God go to heaven. And I never will forget the closing days. of his life. I was reminded over and over and over again what I said, that heathen will steal everything I've got. And boy, when I would think that, I think about the grace of God, how that God changed his life. This is Vance's old hat. He got to have his coffee. When he got saved, we took one hat off, a Budweiser hat, and put a Jesus Saved hat on. Didn't have any family. Aren't you glad Jesus cares about sinners? I don't care how low, how vile, how wicked. I'm standing there and I'm getting ready to do his funeral. I look down at his coffin. The county probably paid for his funeral. I know we probably helped. I know we'd help on it. Vance had his old hat tucked down beside of him. Before they shut the coffin, I reached in and got the hat out. I said, "Buddy, I promise you, you're not going to die. I'm going to tell everybody all over America what God done for you. I promise you right here in this county." And don't you listen when I'm getting ready to say, you know me. You know how I feel about what I'm getting ready to say. "And you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." I know what you do in missions. I know what our church is, where our pastor did in missions, what God did through them. Faith promise, not what we can do, what he does. I know that, and I realize that. But can I tell you something tonight? If you send $1 million a year to a mission field and let the heathens right here in your county go to hell, you've missed it. Are you hearing me? I'll tell you, they're good people. All they need to do, you just get them saved. You get them saved, and I'll promise you. I want to ask you this question. Come up here to this piano so I quit preaching. But I want to ask you a question. Have you got a Vance? Have you got a Vance? I'm working on some now. Well, I've seen them get saved. Old Monty, that drug addict I told you about, he called me just about every day. I'm not his pastor no more, but he still calls me. And I want to tell you, I've seen them come from the prostitute house. I've seen them come from the crack house. I've seen them come from all them areas. I see them ladies standing in the choir, knowing where they used to be, knowing what they used to be, and seeing them up there singing great about the grace of God. Boy, I want to tell you, if that won't make a country preacher preach, he can't preach. I'll promise you the grace of God. I wonder if you've got a Vance tonight. I wonder if you've got a Samaria tonight. I said this a while ago, there's just one life. That life will soon be paced. And all that's done for Christ is all that's going to last. My last few years at my age, I'm reminded of that daily. And I'm reminded daily the only thing that's going to last is those that I win to God and get them in church and get them right with God and get them saved. And doing it through missions and doing it through evangelism. I can honestly say this tonight. I believe I got as much or more of a burden for souls right now than I've ever had in my life. I love seeing people get saved by the grace of God. Every week, I'm not bragging, but every week of my life, just about every week of my life, I get to see some of my boys get saved. Oh, man, I wish you'd go with me to Surrey County Jail. You'll say, "Preacher, you pastored hundreds of people and you'd lower yourself to go to jail." I want them to go to jail. I get in there with them if they let me. Are you hearing me? You get them right with God and get them saved and get them right with God. When they get out, I'm going to tell you what they're going to do. They're going to make a beeline for the house of God. Are you listening? I'm just not sure. One old boy helps me in jail. I'm done. She's going to play in a minute. One boy helps me in jail. He pastors Island Ford Baptist Church. He preaches for me every week, helps me in jail. I told him the other day, I said, "Charlie, I need you to help me in Surrey County. And for you to help me, I've got to have your driver's license number. We've got to do a background check." A tear came up in his eye, and he said, "Preacher, my record's not good. They pull that up, they may not let me come. I said, are you saved? He said, you know better than that. I said, you ain't got a problem one. I said, you ain't had no dope last 2 or 3 years, have you? He took no dope 15 years. Are you hearing me? I'm not condoning people going out here doing wrong. But I am saying this tonight. God saves sinners. The only difference of me and them guys in jail, the only difference, the only reason I'm not on that side of those bars is because of grace. 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 Do you love sinners? There's some more out than Bill's out there on the bus route somewhere. Yes, there is. I promise you there is. Our Heavenly Fathers, we send our feet. Oh, God, help us tonight. Help us realize this thing's soon going to wrap up, and all that we do for Christ is all it's going to last. Lord, the purpose of the church tonight is just not to warm a pew and occupy time. Lord, we're not just keepers of the aquarium, but we ought to be fishers of men. And I pray you'll help us tonight. Oh, God, help us tonight. There's a lot of Vances out there. There's a lot of Altons out there that somebody needs to reach, and they'll never be reached. Now, somebody don't care, and somebody don't weep, and somebody don't shed tears. I pray tonight, God, you'll speak to our hearts. Help us tonight. Help us tonight. Our heads are bowed, and I know Sunday night is the cream of the crop. But I just want to say this to you tonight. If you don't have a Vance or you don't have a Samaria tonight, y'all come up here and bow around this altar tonight and say, dear God, work in my heart. Listen, I'm going to heaven now because somebody's hot salt and tears. How about you tonight? God, speak to your heart. Our heads are bowed and everybody looking around. How many raise your hand and say, preacher, I needed that tonight. God spoke to my heart. Pray for me that I'll have a greater burden. Will you lift your hand? I want to see it right now. I see that. I see that. I see that. I see that. I see that one back there. I see this one over here. Others tonight, hold them high. Others, I see that. I tell you what, let's do right now. I'm getting ready to get out of the pulpit, but I tell you what, let's do. You that raised your hands, and many of you didn't raise them, won't you meet me right now at the altar? Say, God, give me a Vance. God, give me a Samaria. God, give me an Alton. God, work in my heart. Them youngins at school go to hell if you don't reach them. That man beside the gas pump, where you're pumping gas, give him a track, man. Are you listening to me? Where's your Samaria tonight? Come on, right now. Come on, we're going to pray. Come on, that's it, others. Come on.